96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. You don't think about it until you need it, and then it becomes a personal emergency for you and your family. So what happens if you are diagnosed with kidney disease? How serious is it, and what are the steps if you need a kidney transplant? Well, we're talking about that tonight on this Medical Monday. My guests are Dr. Joseph Keith Melanson. He is professor of surgery and director of the George Washington University Transplant Institute and the Ron and Joy Paul Kidney Center, and Phyllis Snowden, Transplant Clinic Manager. Lines are open if you have a question or comment tonight about kidney disease, kidney transplants, anything related to your kidney health. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Or at Daily Drum, WHUR. Dr. Melanson and Ms. Snowden, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
And let me start off, first of all, how do you know, Dr. Melanson, if you have a problem with your kidneys? What are the symptoms? How might you feel?
It's a very good question. You know, usually one of the first signs that people have that they remember is swelling. So they may have swelling around their ankles at first, and then the swelling progresses. They can have trouble breathing. But what I try to get my patients to understand, if, you know, I'm talking to a general audience, is that one of the earlier signs of kidney disease is just simply looking when you urinate. And if you urinate and it's very foamy inside of the toilet, you know, if you're making a lot of bubbles when you urinate, that's a sign of a lot of protein in your urine. And that's a bad sign. And you need to have that checked out. That's an early sign. Usually what people remember, again, is the swelling, the trouble breathing. That's what brings them to the emergency room. But if they would go back in time, they would remember that they had lots of bubbles when they would urinate. And that is an early sign of kidney disease.
You mentioned the swelling in the ankles. What causes that?
Basically, your kidneys are at that point very diseased, and they're starting to just lose their function. So they cannot get rid of fluid as readily as they once used to. And there are five stages of kidney disease. And when you get to the point where you're swelling, you're all the way in stage four or five. The interesting thing about kidney disease is the first three stages are actually pretty reversible. So you can be all the way in stage three, which is pretty significant kidney dysfunction, and go all the way back to stage one by taking care of the things that lead to kidney disease. This kind of segues into, well, what leads to kidney disease? Well, the two most common reasons to have kidney disease is high blood pressure, which is untreated, and diabetes, which is untreated. Lots of people have diabetes and hypertension or high blood pressure and don't even know it. Many people know it, and they don't treat it appropriately. These are the things that lead to kidney disease.
I want to talk a little bit more about some of those preventable things, but I do want to talk specifically about transplants, because we hear so much about transplants, people who need kidneys, and all of the advances in kidney transplant science. Ms. Snowden, talk to me a little bit about the transplant clinic and what exactly happens there.
Yeah, awesome. So the transplant clinic is where we evaluate patients, and we have certain criteria that we're able to work through once the patient comes in. There's no age limit. All you have to know is that you have kidney disease. So we have the patients come in, and they meet the entire interdisciplinary team. On that team, you'll have the social worker who will identify if the patient has good social support to help them through that transplantation phase. They'll also meet a dietitian who will help them identify if they're within a nutritional, you know, like a good level to move forward with surgery at that time. So, of course, we have BMI requirements, and we have diet.
BMI.
Yeah. We want to make sure that your BMI is not too high to get through surgery, obviously.
Body mass index.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And so when you look at the BMI, we're obviously concerned for issues such as wound, dehiscence, and things like that after surgery. So we try to stick within our criteria. They also meet with our transplant surgeon. So that's phenomenal. They get to meet the physicians that day. The surgeon will also evaluate the patient to make sure they're a good surgical candidate. They'll meet the nephrologist who will review their kidney health and see how far their kidney disease has advanced and, you know, how they're going to be treated post-transplant. Mm-hmm. As they meet the entire interdisciplinary team, they'll also be provided a transplant coordinator. That nurse and or licensed professional will walk them through the entire process from assessment the day of eval through all of their testing, through after their testing to the, presenting them to the patient selection meetings to then helping them get listed. While they're listed with us, that transplant coordinator is their primary source of contact. That person will answer any questions they may have and help them eventually get transplanted.
You know, it says, you know, transplant clinic manager, and I just have this image in my mind that a patient walks in and you got all these kidneys hanging up and you're picking and you're picking your kidney, but it doesn't work like that.
Not quite. If it were, it'd be great. Yeah. You know, I'd probably be more than the clinic manager. I'd probably be like the transplant god.
Yeah.
But
what flavor of kidney would you like? Right. Yeah.
But yeah, we have to actually go through UNOS, which is the United Network where the kidneys for deceased donation where they're offered. So once you're on that list, the average waiting time is about 5 years. However, there are other options, which I'm sure we'll explore as we go on, which is living donation is another option for transplant.
I want to talk a little bit more about that, but I need to go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about kidney health, kidney disease, kidney transplants. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. Lines are open. Let's talk to Tracy. Tracy calling from Silver Spring. Tracy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was diagnosed with chronic kidney disease around November, and I was told that I was in stage 3 and that it really wasn't that serious. What I was listening to a moment ago was that if you're in the stage 3 realm of this disease, that you can reverse it. I would love to hear more about that. I've done extensive research because my father also had a kidney transplant many years ago, but we had different situations. Mm-hmm. I have spilled protein into my urine and have had high blood calcium ever since I was a teenager, but it was never really noted that I had a particular kidney issue. I did have high blood pressure up and down as a young person. I am currently on 5 milligrams of Benicar, which was to help bring my blood pressure to a, you know, manageable level, and it is, and I've lost like, you know, 15 pounds and to help with that process. I guess my concern is that I asked the nephrologist whose care I'm under, could I be directed toward a renal dietitian, and if I needed to watch those levels of all those other minerals like phosphorus and potassium and so on. And it really was sort of presented to me like it wasn't really a big deal.
Well, Tracy, Tracy, if I can stop you there, because you said a mouthful and a lot to go through. Doctor, can you kind of take us through? Because she mentioned a couple of things. First of all, stage 3, can it be reversed?
Yes, it definitely can be. And I will tell you, the first thing is to be proactive. And in this patient sounds like a very proactive person. And that's the first key. So I agree with everything that she's doing. The number one thing is the blood pressure needs to be under control. And by under control, that top number needs to be below 140. That bottom number, the diastolic blood pressure, needs to be 80 or below. So if her blood pressure is under good control, that's step number one. She also mentioned that she's losing weight. I could not agree more. Even if she's not a vastly overweight, just losing weight puts less stress on the kidney. All right, so that's number two. Number three, she needs to be drinking lots of water. She does need to change her diet. I mean, you can go online and read about the renal diet and things that people need to be doing. But in short, you know, that means less processed foods. That means less soda. So she needs to be avoiding phosphates. So that's going to be preservatives. That's going to be there are lots of phosphorus inside of these sodas like Coca-Cola and what have you. And if I was her, I would be avoiding fast food. The more that she cooks at home, eats homemade meals, the less preservatives that are involved. So I think that she sounds like she's moving in the right direction. Lots of water, decrease salt, decrease fast food, increase her activities. These are all the things she needs to be doing, and it sounds like that's what she's doing.
Okay, Tracy, thank you so much for your phone call. We appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I take another phone call, I wanted to talk about the education conference, which is coming up. It's actually next month, May 6th, George Washington University Transplant Institute. What's that about, Doctor?
Well, basically what we have found is that you've got to go where the rubber meets the road. You have to go into the community. I cannot tell you, Phyllis and I, we have these conversations all the time in our clinic, and you wind up in this echo chamber and you think everybody knows this stuff, but really people don't. And what we enjoy doing is going out and interacting in the community, because there's a lot of misinformation out there, and people need to get the facts from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So we love to go out into the community. We can answer the questions and deal with the myths, deal with the misinformation that's out there, and get people to understand. I can tell you, most people that have problems, including leading to stroke, and problems that lead them into the emergency room, are really interacting with the medical community already. So it's a matter of it's not a matter of lack of access. It's a lack of repeat access. I tell people the most important visit with your doctor is not the first visit. It's actually the second visit. Mm-hmm. So we just want to get there and interact with these people. Oftentimes they interact with the healthcare professionals already, but we just want to make sure that we're dealing with the myths.
Okay, and that's the George Washington University Transplant Institute Education Conference. It's coming up on Saturday, May 6th, and it's at the Pennsylvania Avenue Baptist Church, 3000 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast. Of course, that's here in D.C. from 9 until 1. As always, that information will be posted on WHUR.com. After the program. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about kidney health, kidney disease, kidney transplants. If you have a question or a comment, please give us a call. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise I will take as many phone calls as I can. Melissa, quickly, calling from Virginia, what's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling because I have a cousin. She's 45 years old, and she's been on dialysis now for about 4 years. Her father, my uncle, just died of kidney disease. He was on dialysis for 12 years. He died at 70 back in January. My question is, for somebody in her situation, being on a transplant list, what else can be done to help somebody like her? I mean, she lives in Chappahannock, Virginia, so she's not, in a big city. And what can be done to help somebody like her?
I want to get to that question, Melissa, but I need to take a break. So promise me to stay on the line. On the other side, we will get your question answered. Also, Greg in Cheverly, Jay in Virginia, Linda in Maryland will be talking to you as well. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday. We're talking about kidney health, kidney disease, kidney transplants. If you're having difficulty getting in, please stay with us. Give us a call. We will take as many phone calls as we can. And if you're on the line, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this Medical Monday conversation.